Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have a special guest, Daryl from the Fixer's Hideout podcast and website, and what else you guys got going over there?
We do Comic Book Roadshow, and I also started something pretty recent where it's called No Apologies, where we get together every Saturday. And whoever wants to come on and hit me up on Skype, and it's called the Skype meeting, and we just talk about movies, comics, TV, anything. Like, you could just come on and just talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Sounds interesting. I haven't had time to join you, but I always think about it because I always see the Facebook reminder, but it's like, I'm always doing stuff. So maybe today. What is this? This just, you just no apologizing for what? Is it a lot of trash talk?
Or anything. we do trash talk. It's like, I always thought, you know, being a geek that likes, you know, so many things, it's no apologizing for, like, liking Smallville. It's no apologizing for liking Battlestar Galactica. You know, all those little things that, you know,
we apologize for that? Who apologizes for any of that?
I don't. So that's the perfect, you know, I thought that would be the perfect thing where you can talk about whatever you like or whatever show you don't like. You can feel safe to talk about it on the show.
That is cool. Is there a website for it, or you just kind of have to?
I'm still trying to hook up the website, but you can pretty much, the website is Facebook. You have Facebook, you get stuff on there.
I'll put a link, and it's just friend you, and they'll find out.
Right.
Okay, I'll put a link on our show notes. Today we are going to talk about Smallville. The last time I talked about Smallville, I had Carl on, and we chatted a little bit, but I was still confused. He told me to just, you know, if you're confused, just watch the episodes. I still haven't done that. And but since the movie, what was that movie thing called again? I forgot.
Absolute Justice.
Absolute Justice, right. I've been watching it faithfully ever since. So I'm caught. I watched last night the episode Escape, where they went to the bed and breakfast, the Scottish bed and breakfast. And
right.
Felt like an episode of Supernatural to me. Because, I mean, I don't know. It was just really weird. For some reason, I didn't expect that type of thing. Because it didn't have anything really to do with kryptonite or anything. It was just kind of...
Well, the background has been going on with Chloe has been seeing Oliver behind the scenes for a couple of episodes, and no one really knew about it. So this was basically a chance for, you know, Clark and Lois to find out about that relationship.
Via a banshee and a bed and breakfast.
Well, Silver Banshee is an old character from the comics. Where she...
Oh, it was actually Silver Banshee. Okay, okay.
That's why everybody had every woman she took over her body, she had that little, they would have that hair, that little silver line.
Oh, it looked blonde. But, okay.
I know. But
they never actually come out and say the people's names and say what they're doing on Smallville for the most part. So I was just did not get what was, so I didn't get Silver Banshee at all.
That's the bad thing about the show, that they don't tell you or give you something to look at to tell you, oh, this is from the comic book story, you know, and just let you look it up, but just give you a little something about it.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, can you straighten out what the hell happened with Lex and these Kryptonians and what are their goals? Because, I mean, as far as their story is, it's moving kind of slow, and I don't know what the hell they're doing or what's the goal. And Zod has his powers. Now him and the chick are in bed, sleeping around with each other because she kind of found out. And what?
Okay. Now, the part with Zod, this is not the actual Zod. This is a clone. What they did was before... Krypton was destroyed. They had Clark Kent's father, biological father, Jor-El, create clone samples that, in case the planet was destroyed, their race will be preserved.
That makes sense.
Right. Okay. Now, that covers that part. Now, yes. Tess found out about this thing, and she opened it up. But what Clark's father did, because he knew how dangerous Zod could be, he put a impurity in the clones so that they wouldn't have superpowers.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
So the whole thing with Zod is to get his powers back.
And he did that. He has that now.
Well, Clark, last episode, he was shot.
Yes, so I remember that.
To save his life, Clark... dripped his superpowered blood into Zod, and that's what happened.
Okay.
But he doesn't know it, of course, because Clark never knows anything until the last minute.
Well, he's an alien. He grew up on a farm. We gotta cut him some slack, you know, a little, maybe.
I'm cutting him slack, but it's he never. It's like Chloe is the one that always tells him, trust no one, you know, we need to make sure everything is okay. And that has been a rift between them two throughout this season and last season, is about her being dedicated to watching the planet, making sure that, you know, the Kryptonians are not going to do the wrong thing. Mm. So, okay. And Tess is part of an organization where we learned about in Absolute Justice,
right.
Is called Checkmate. Now, Checkmate is comic book. Checkmate is basically if the CIA, if they had a division of the CIA that dealt with people with powers, where their job is to come in and watch all the metahumans on the planet and to make sure that the ones that they can use, they use for jobs, and the other ones that they can't use if they're a threat, to take down.
So they don't really know much about anything. They don't know about Clark. They don't know, well.
Well, Checkmate knows about everything. They have been, they even know about the, in Absolute Justice, they were the reason why all those super characters were put in jail and pretty much
kept
from society, because they thought that they would be dangerous. So they wanted to use them as like an army, like a superpowered army, and they rebelled, and because of it, they punished them and took them off the map. So that's Tess is trying to, she knows, because of the head of the organization, who is Amanda Waller, she knows that a big threat is coming to the planet, and it's called Apocalypse. That was the last zinger, and Apocalypse has been something that has been in the comics for years, where he is pretty much an alien version of Hitler.
Oh.
Where he just comes into, and he just takes over planets. And his idea is, only the strongest survive. It's my way, absolute power over whatever planet he takes over.
So Apocalypse here is a person and not an event.
I'm thinking that... yeah, it's a person, and I'm thinking that it's probably going to be... He can use disguises, so I'm thinking that...
Oh, he's a shapeshifter, or...?
Well, they're called... They have... Think of them as... They call themselves new gods, and they're good new gods and bad new gods. Apocalypse is the evil version of those new gods.
So like, would this be on Smallville, or no?
Yeah, they're saying... Yeah, this was Jeff Johns who wrote that storyline so far, Absolute Justice. He said that on purpose, they put Apocalypse, the character, in that.
That's nice. Story. Do we know who's going to play that?
No, that's not something yet. That they have not even hinted at yet.
Oh, okay. Well.
So Tess, who was playing with fire, she's pretty much been trying to get Clark to man up in her own way. Like, it's a wrong way, but her way is, she's trying to make Clark as tough as possible, because they need somebody that can handle that type of threat.
Tess is. So she's not a bad guy, girl?
She's just a soldier. she's working for Checkmate, and her job is just is to try to make the most strongest candidate possible to defend the planet against.
But why is she always skulking around and doing back room deals? And, you know, she just seems like a, I don't know, maybe she, I don't know. Well, I'm not that fond of her character. She just doesn't seem strong enough.
Me either, because it's just Lex was such a good, Rosenbaum was such a good character in Lex that it's, I think they made her part of Checkmate to kind of give her a reason, because she's just been so, she's had no direction. Mm. Or why she's doing the things that she's been doing, but now it kind of makes sense, just because she's been trying to get Clark on board to, that's why she wanted Clark to kill so bad. She was trying to tell him, you need to kill. You need to kill Zod. You need to get.
But now she's sleeping with Zod.
Zod has power now. That's another person on board that they probably can use.
So you sleep with that person. Okay, I see that. That makes total sense. Not.
And since he doesn't know about kryptonite yet.
Oh, Zod doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, that's why she was behind the back and my secrets. And okay, I get that now. Wow, it just seems like he would know about that for now. But when he finds out, wow, that's going to be something else.
I make a prediction that she's not surviving after the season. I don't think she's going to make
it. Is there a petition for that? Because I'd sign up, because she really, she makes me tired.
Well, since we know Lex is coming back next season. He is
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Back. They're trying to decide how many episodes to do it, but he's coming back.
Okay. So he left and he's dead, but not dead, but alive and but dead, but not really. Because I can never get anybody to explain that to me. And so now he's coming back. So he wasn't really dead or what?
Well, he was in an explosion, and if you don't find a body, you're never really dead. You know, the guy gets in the van and they blow up the van, but you never see remains from the van. So, Lex has got to be alive. I mean, he's just, you know that Superman is going to be Superman. There's always going to be a Lex Luthor, so you always knew he's coming back.
So why did the actor leave in the first place? Do we know this story?
Well, he said that he just wanted to do other things. You know, he wanted to direct others. He wanted to direct. He wanted to do other movies, like, you know, anything like the comedy he did, which I don't think it did very well.
Yeah,
but
because I don't know anything about that.
It was Sorority Girls, where he dressed up like a girl.
Oh, that thing? Wasn't that like back in the 90s or something?
Well, it was like in the early 2000, but okay. He said he wanted to do other stuff.
And so other stuff didn't work out, so now he's coming back, or I don't
know. What?
I'm not complaining, because I want him back.
I don't think anyone knew that this show would last 10 seasons.
It's longer than Stargate. Well, it's as long as Stargate.
Right, so
X-Files went 9.
Yeah, they went 9, and it was supposed to go another season. It just didn't work out that way.
I'm glad it didn't work out, because that was some stuff right there.
Yeah, that I missed the first 5 seasons. From the first 5 seasons, I just missed it.
Yeah. Well, Fringe is doing pages here. Fringe is doing pretty good, and it is. I would call it an X-Files replacement. How are you feeling about that show?
Yeah, it definitely is, because the lead characters, they have that they just have that chemistry with each other that I enjoy when they go on there. I think it's Catherine and Peter. They just have it. They have that connection. So I'm enjoying where the show is going.
Yeah. So did you watch this? Because it was on break forever, which came mm-hmm. in, and you watched the one from Thursday?
Had to. After that.
Of course you had to. My God, how awesome was that? The 80s intro was just so cute. I didn't expect that at all.
Oh, and the hair.
And the makeup. Nina's makeup. She looked like 20 years younger.
It's amazing how they do that.
My God, yeah. I need their makeup artist just every day. So like, oh, Kat, look at you. You look 18. I like this episode, the latest episode of Fringe, because, you know, we found out how Peter, alternate Peter's here, right?
Right.
But what I'm really interested in is how he's going to respond when he finds out.
Yeah, because that's something we don't even know how his parents on the other side.
Yes.
What they are doing. What if that Walter on the other side is the one who's been.
Yes, that is my theory. I know what you're saying.
Right. What if he's getting revenge on this world because of what Walter did?
He has to. That is like the only explanation. He wants his son back. And how is Peter going to respond? You know, Walter here, you know, that, you know, is his dad. But his dad is all wacky because he had pieces of his brain removed.
Mm-hmm.
And so this other Walter is probably going to be like pissed. He's smart. He's sharp. He's confident. He knows what he's doing, you know. However, the Peter would have died because, what is the man and the weird guys, time guys, distracted him while he was trying to, you know, make the cure for Peter. And so Peter would have died on that side too. So really, our Walter is a savior. So I don't know.
Well, the thing that makes me think is, why did they distract him at that particular second? They knew that cure was going to come at that second. They had to have known that. So is it that
he knew it, but he made a mistake because he wanted to witness it. It was a selfish thing from Time Guy. What are they called?
The Watchers?
The Watcher. So he made a mistake. That's what him and the other guys were saying, is that you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You messed up, but you will have a chance to make it right because all these other things are going to happen, which is why he pulled him out of the icy lake when they came back through to our side, right?
Yeah, and he's been helping him since. I mean,
pretty much,
been doing to help Walter.
So, I mean, then you have to ask, is Walter, alternate Walter, really evil, or is he just, you know, a grieving father who wants his son back because some other crazy guy took his son?
Well, I think that'll be the thing that some of the, like, Fringe, all the enemies are not always just evil just to be evil. There's a reason behind some of the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a hard person to be angry at, because it's actually our Walter's fault that these things are happening.
Yeah, he's the first to punch to the other side. He's the first. Yeah. And
we started the war is basically what, you know, we probably are finding out. I think we are the one that we made the first attempt to start this war.
Well, it was the like thing that ignited a war to be had. But I don't think it was like, let's start a war. I'm taking my son. It was a grieving, misguided thing to do.
Well, those are the best, like, I think those, when especially in sci-fi, I think those are the best wars, that it's easy to hate an enemy that is all, you know, those Hitler type characters in space are the easiest ones to hate. Mm-hmm. But what if it's not even that, you know, if it's just such a simple thing as miscommunication?
Yeah. Sort of like BSG and the Cylons or whatever, but they were pretty ridiculous. But we won't talk about BSG. But I'm really impressed with this show, Fringe. I haven't heard about the ratings lately, but it is on a tough night. Thursday is just a really tough night to have a show on, period. Because there's just so much on Thursday. From Fringe, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, you got Project Runway, you got Community, and all sorts of types of shows on Thursday. They just pack them in, CSI. So we will see about, wait, what day is Flash Forward on? Is that on Thursday as well?
Flash Forward, I think, is on.
No.
Actually, it's on the, yeah, it is. It's Thursday is Flash Forward and V.
No, V's on Tuesday. after so Lost.
Flash Forward is something else. See, that's the bad thing about Flash Forward, too, because I wound up watching it on Hulu.
Yeah.
Anything else, but I think Flash Forward is Wednesday then.
I don't know. I always watch it, on Hulu or somewhere else. I'm not sure. But I rarely watch it live because, you see, I don't know what day it's on. But speaking of Flash Forward, the break, it just really kind of, I don't know, it just doesn't have that same force that it had. It seems like we're dealing with the same stuff. Are you into it? Are you still excited about it? Or how are you feeling about it?
You know, I'm a little less excited than I was when it first started. But I know that the ratings have just been...
They tanked.
Yeah, they tanked so bad that they had to take that long time just to reshoot. Like, they really had to go back, think about how they wanted to work the show. They brought in a new actor.
To
put him with the team. And it kind of, it's a different formula now. It seems like it's a different type of show than what we originally started watching.
How is it different? Well, it doesn't, because at first it was supposed to be a Lost replacement, but it's just not as, I guess I would call it crack TV, like Lost is. You know, Lost, have to know what's going on. You have to sit there. You have to watch it because it's just so compelling. I'm not saying that Flash Forward isn't compelling, but it seems like we already have all the answers to the mystery of the show. And right now, I don't know really what we're watching.
I hate to say it, but it's that actor. What is that guy with the family, with the wife?
Oh, darn it. I can't even remember his name. I know that D. Gibbons is a bad man, but
that's the problem. What we said, look at that. When you think of Lost, you think of Sawyer. You think of Jack.
Mark Benford.
You don't think of them. You don't think about the lead cast. He is just so. His acting is just so. Nah, he has no emotion most of the time.
Yeah.
You don't remember him.
I guess I didn't remember him. I had to look him up. This is created by Brandon Braga, David S. Goyer. Those are, Enterprise they did? Star Trek Enterprise and among other things?
Yeah, they're good with the overarching storyline, but if you don't have the right cast or you don't give the character... There's nothing to make me latch on to this lead guy yet.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him either. I don't hate him. I like everybody else. I just, like, two people have been shot, or died, rather, and they, I guess, won't fulfill their Flash Forward. And our main theory is, you know, the Flash Forward is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are set on, I'm not going to die today because... I had a Flash Forward, and so that means that I'm going to be here. But two people have died.
Right.
They had Flash Forward, and so it kind of, I don't know, breaks the whole theory of the show to me.
Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of does.
And I don't know what they're doing.
Well, another thing happened on the last episode where somebody died.
That's what I'm talking about.
And the first guy who was an agent. Part of it, I think, was bad is they didn't develop that guy. Like, you knew nothing really about him.
What's his face on Smallville?
He played Cyborg.
Yes, on Smallville. Yes. That's where I knew him from. I was like, he's from Smallville. But I was a bit upset that he didn't last that long, and they brought this new guy in. And it had to be an actor thing, you know, because I know they just didn't want to kill the guy off. I don't know what they're doing.
That's the problem, I think, with the show is at first you're thinking it's some diabolical scientist and you thought that it was the other guy from Lost that used to be on Lost that is on Flash Forward now. You thought he was the diabolical scientist in the beginning.
Simon Campos.
Right. You thought he was the guy that's been in the shadows all this time. And then they pretty much reveal it's kind of not him.
Yeah, yeah. It was like some half-dad or I don't even know what happened, which I thought was kind of interesting because it really pulled you into his character. Mm-hmm. But then the very next week was so light. I'm sick of Mark Benford and his wife Penny or whatever her name is on this show, and the back and forth with the kid, and then there's a special kid, and then she's supposed to be with this one guy. It's like, just make it happen. Just leave or don't leave. Quit toying with us.
Right. That storyline has been going on for too long. I mean, this guy is not, like, the wife is getting mad at him, but he's not just a beat cop. Like, he's investigating a phenomenon that has killed a lot of people.
It's true, but, I mean, it is a hard decision. You know, but if he don't want his wife skanking around with that other guy, he should have made the right decision, which was to leave. He doesn't really care about that, and he's obsessed with whatever, so she's going to leave and be in her lingerie with Mr. British guy.
Very true. It's like they're throwing angst into it that I don't need. It's like it's so much stuff going on that we don't really need that.
Yeah, we don't. I don't, the mystery, it seems like we have all the answers. Oh, it's going to be another blackout. Well, we need to find out who's doing it, who's controlling it. At this point, do we care?
Well, that was the thing with the mole. You know, the big thing is who will betray the team.
Oh, there's a mole? Oh,
yes, that's God. Next episode is the mole.
Who I think it's going to be the, I just don't want to, you know, straight up call her the gay agent, but I think it's Janice? Yeah. Janice Hogg. She's leaving, or she's going to be on another show, so it might be her. And that's a bit of a spoiler, but I put that together just because I saw a headline saying that a flash forward actress is starring in another show somewhere else. And whenever you see that, you start to think, when actors start leaving a show like this, and it's, you know, it lost a million viewers this week, it lost a million, and actors are leaving, the show's on shaky grounds, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah, your agent is telling you, I'm going to get you another job, because you have to keep working. Yes. We can't sit here on this. You have to get another job.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Well, flash forward, I don't really know what's going to happen with them. Smallville, I don't know that I'm going to go back and watch all of them. I think I'm good on the information that one more thing before we leave. Have you seen pictures of the Marvel app on the iPad?
Oh, of
the comic book app?
Yeah, I did see the prices that they're going to charge for the apps, too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
My problem with that whole thing is, if I can hold in my hand a comic for maybe a dollar more, you have to put on the app. It like they suggested the price to Marvel and all other companies to at least go to 99 cents.
Mm-hmm. For the app.
It's per comic. I don't even think you have to pay for the app per se, but you have to pay for.
How much are the books regular in the store?
In the store without a discount, it would cost you about maybe $2.99.
Versus 99 on the iPad. Okay, so what's your?
Well, versus $1.99, they're charging you $1.99.
And
you can't, like, it's not like you can't print out the comic. You can't take it from one computer and put it on another. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. So you're paying something like that. Like, if I buy it in the store, I can have my comic and I can go wherever I want with it. I can read it whenever I want. Like, I think they're going to have the same issues with that music has been having with when iTunes came and how they were fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Those issues are going to be, I know those issues are going to come up with first not wanting to be on it at all. And then when you do go on iTunes, how they want to charge different prices for different companies, you know, different musical companies they are fighting on. Everyone wants to get the most money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to have a set price for something like that.
what about, I guess, it on a whole? Do you, would that this be something you use? Are you against it? Do you?
I'm pretty old school with reading, like reading novels and reading comic. Like I read all the time, but right now I haven't seen anything to make me want to go to digital books or digital comics yet. I do like, it is closer to what I would want, like the size of the screen, mm-hmm. the way I can touch the pages to turn it. It is closer to what I want, but I don't know if they're there yet. Like, but this is just the first generation. Mm-hmm. As it goes, I know they're going to get it better, but they have to work on how much it's going to cost me to buy it. They have to give me an incentive to.
So do you think they're retraining like a younger generation to not want to have the comic books and buy the plastic sleeves and have tons and tons of all that stuff? Because now you don't have box of CDs or cassette tapes you have to deal with. You just have an iPod and a computer and you're done. Books, you don't have like to dedicate square footage to bookshelves and stuff like that. You have it on your device, your iPod, your iPad, your Kindle or whatever, and you're done. Do you think this is what they're trying to do, and that maybe eventually, you know, there won't be digging in the crates, you know, so to speak, for comic books? And is that okay? I mean, or not? Well, or do you like the physical experience?
I always like the physical experience. they're always going to be the physical copies on paper. That's always going to happen. But kids are reading on these, like kids are reading comics on the iPhone. That little tiny iPhone, they're sitting there reading stuff on that.
Yeah, but and you always have it, and then you don't have like you don't have to worry about creasing the cover or something getting spilled on it, or you know you're reading comics, so you know you got a bully on your ass, somebody coming throwing your backpack in a river and something. Right. You know, somebody can do that to your iPad, but there's insurance and you can get another one. I don't know. I mean, it just seems. Like, I might actually read them because I don't have to store them or pull them out or find them or anything. You just, they're there.
Well, I'm like a DJ when it comes to records. So if I'll be the one that'll go to a boutique store and look for comics like a DJ will go and look for records. You know, they still have stores mm-hmm. that go get records. But for, like, you, it's great for you. Like I can say I think you would like a particular sci-fi story or mm-hmm. comic, I think you would like this. Download these two issues or three issues and you can just sit.
Yeah, I don't have to go in the creepy store with the creepy people leering at you. And
well, we've got, it's a little better since then. It's not that bad all the time. The only rule.
Oh, I got some. I went to just get some movie comic books for my nephew. I think he's like 9 or so, and I just wanted him to have the movie version of Transformers and G.I. Joe. Didn't like it. It was just so like, I'm not coming back here.
Yeah, they will always have those little stores that are just the creepy, the creepy store. The guy, you look for the guy in the trench coat and you're scared.
Nah, they're just like, I don't know. It's weird. I shouldn't say that, but I don't know. But yeah.
No, it happens. It's not your fault. It's the person running the store's fault. That's part of what's hurt the industry enough that it is, a lot of it's going to digital.
I don't know, maybe it'll be a good thing, maybe it won't. I really don't want to see guys just, like, I read an article by Cory Doctorow, and he just was really against the Marvel app, and he was like, you know, he was all about the physical experience, and he really disliked the inability to trade comic books, because this is what, you know, you as a buyer, you buy it and you want to share it with someone or something like that. You know, you can't do that here.
Well, you know, that's the issues that are going to have to be dealt with as time goes on, like we still go with music. Like, how can you tell me not to make a copy of an album that I bought?
Yeah, but, I mean, here it's like, well, you know, everybody has an iPod, and it's just easier to pay 99 cent or 79 cent for your thing than trying to, well, I don't know, if you're the type of person who knows how to set up a server and have a sharing and blah, 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 but not everybody knows a person like that.
You know? Right. Well, I think, well, they're going to work on those prices. But right now, what it is good for are people that, I know people that do web comics. I know people that do independent books. Hmm. So they can say, I have a new book that I just wrote that Marvel, like a big company, wouldn't even think to put it in their company, or they wouldn't, they don't have the money to have it put on paper and to ship it. But I can do a little comic, put it online and give it, put it on an app and charge maybe 50 cents, 90 cents.
That is a good thing.
You know, this,
because a lot of people I know, well, I don't know a lot of people, but you just, you know, see a lot of people online with web comics and stuff. Some of them are doing really good, you know, really well. But that is another positive thing for the iPad and comic books and stuff like that. So I think some people should think about that. And it's greener.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, anything gets people to read. You know, I'm a proponent of reading. So anything that gets people to read, I can't knock it. I can't. Well, I can't wait to hear y'all talk about the new Doctor Who, because I'm trying not to be judgmental of the new guy.
Oh man, yeah. I'm trying to like him. I'm trying to like it. But I saw one preview, and because he's young, and so I was like, I can't relate to him because he's all young. But he reads a lot older on screen. He's a lot more mature, and he reads a little older, and I don't know, old soul type thing. So I feel hope for this.
Well, you know, I remember all the hate that people were talking when
David
Tennant. Yeah. When they picked Tenet, I remember it because I wasn't watching it then. I started getting into it later, but I remember, like, just people were like, oh, I will never watch Doctor Who ever again. I'm like, how can they do this to me? Why do they hate me?
No, because Christopher Eccleston was a good doctor. You know, he was a new doctor. He was he was the first one to return. He only lasted a year. And then, but David Tennant, he came with it. He came with it.
Yeah, he did.
And he left with a bang. And now you got this little teeny bopper dude coming in trying to, you know, say something. And don't nobody want to hear that.
And when I saw the scene of him holding the gun, I was like, what?
Really? Yeah.
I was like, that's not Doctor Who.
Like, what is that?
He doesn't use guns.
Well, maybe it's a weird something or another, but
yeah, I'm thinking that it was just something to get you.
The initial, I think, I guess commercial that they did for a trailer, I was just like, hell no, this feels like Twilight.
You know what? That's what my friend Lori, who I do the other podcast
she
with,
said that.
That's Twilight on TV. She said, that's Twilight on Doctor Who. I don't want no Twilight on my Doctor Who.
It felt like that. It totally felt like that. But I watched the latest trailer, and I was just like, oh, okay. Because he was just, I don't know. It was something about him that he read older. He wasn't like all, you know, all, I don't know.
Well, I give it a plus. They're keeping connected to a lot of the plots that they had from Tenet.
Well, they're going to have
the angels. Mm-hmm. They are going to have them. So, I mean, so it's not, I mean, that makes me think, okay, let me not be too quick to judge, because I remember, you know, how people judged Tenet before he came on. So I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to stop. Because my first thought is just to say, this is not Doctor Who. This is not Doctor Who at all. That's my first thought. But
Doctor Who fans like Eric, he just kept at me. He was like, Kat, no, you're gonna like this. No, this is gonna be awesome. Let me tell you why this is gonna be awesome. And I was just like, I don't know. But he just kept, you know, posting little videos, posting this, that, and the other. Just kept on just like picking away at my hard exterior, you know. And finally it broke through a little bit. So if I'm hard, you know, if I'm judgmental, so if I don't like it, I don't know. So I think
you got me to stay with Caprica, because I've been judgmental on that show.
Really?
Why? You know what? I love the way it's shot. I love the looks. I don't have a problem with the actors. Where is it going? It's like I'm sitting here, like, I'm tired of this girl.
Well, where do you want it to go? Where did you think it was supposed to go?
I thought it would have a faster... I thought it would, like, link more to how the I guess they are going there, but it just moves too slow? Yes, and it feels like it's so many different storylines going on. You know, like the girl, like the teacher, and then the crazy wife.
Jumping off of the bridge. What the hell? Ugh.
Right. It's like, and then they took, because the wife was a doctor. Like on paper,
yeah.
She was a doctor. You know, where she came from. She's not one of the Capricorns. She's from a different culture. So I'm like, well, let me see that. But I'm looking at a crazy woman. She looks like one of those housewives that...
Housewives, the new Caprica.
Right.
I'm complaining about her character a little bit too, because she is a doctor and she should just be different, you know? But they've turned her into some crazy housewife. So yeah, I really don't like that. But everything else, I'm glad it took a departure from Battlestar, because you know how I felt about Battlestar. It just made me exhausted.
You might not like where it's going then.
Well, it's not there yet, so I'm enjoying the ride so far. Once it hops off and get on Crazy Train, then, you know.
Well, I mean, well, you might not like when they do the new, because they changed the showrunner.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Like when it, because the ratings suffered some, so what they, they're
changing. Well, that's because of Olympics.
Yeah, but they changed, when its show comes back, they changed one of the showrunners.
What does that mean?
He's more of a sci-fi type of person, I had heard. So they might direct the show a little bit more. They might connect it a little bit more in the sci-fi vein. Because, you know, they dipped their toes a little bit in sci-fi, but then it's been more about, you know, the families and the characters of, you know, but now they're...
But people want more sci-fi.
Right, and so they're trying to put a little bit of more sci-fi into the show.
I won't ever complain about that. I thought the character development was interesting, and I did not hate it, except for the wife, because she kind of confused me. But
and I want tough for Adama. I want to fight, like, that's...
Well, he was dealing with the loss of his daughter, so...
I'm ready for him to knock somebody out. Like, just...
Well, that's
like,
the kid. That's the kid. We've got to wait for the kid. And we haven't seen him in, like, 3 or 4 episodes, it seems like.
Well, when he threw that rock and beat that kid up when they went fishing,
yes.
I was like, yeah, that's Adama. That's Adama right there.
Oh, man.
So, I'm looking for... I want to see more with the brother. Like, he's a pretty good character, too.
The gay shanker guy who's
right,
killing...
Right, but more than just being a gangster, like...
I like that he was gay, though. Really love that, because it's just like he's all hardcore and this, that, and the other. Yeah, by the way, you know, I have my gay lover here and blah, blah, and I was just
right,
like,
the way they put it in
beautiful.
There. Yeah, the way they threw it in there when he was talking to his nephew, it was like a one-off thing, like, you know, whatever. So that's how, if you're going to do it like that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, because we don't care. Like, it's 2010, you're gay, whatever. We don't give a damn.
Right. I don't need to hear a big thing like, you know, I'm coming out
and blah.
I'm
yes,
coming out now.
Everybody's fracking gay. This is America. It doesn't matter. But it's just, and so it's too slow for you. And then you don't like the wife. What else? I mean, because, yeah, it is beautiful. I love the virtual world. I love just the costumes, everything. I say this every week. People are bored with me, but why are you...
I keep wanting to see this. I'm like, I keep looking like, why is this little girl, especially since I know it's not the same girl, but it's based on the same personality. She pretty much forgave her parents for whatever she was mad at before she left.
Not really, because she's still not talking to him.
But why is she not talking? Like, she saw them grieve for her. Like, what do you want them to do?
She wants to get to Geminon, right?
Right.
Because she thinks she has a mission of some sort. And if her dad figures out that she's inside, he's going to coddle her. He's never going to let her go. He's never going to do this, that, and the other. You know, maybe. Because if you found out that the AI of your daughter he thought was destroyed is back.
I would even prefer if she, you know what I would have loved? A 5-second thing where she recorded a message and sent it to him to act like she did this before she left, telling her father, you know, Maybe, because I would think that by seeing them without knowing that they're being watched by her, she would have a better understanding of her parents mm-hmm. more than she did before as a child. You know, you mm-hmm. don't meet your parents. Your parents, as far when you're a kid, your parents know nothing. They can't tell you anything. They don't know anything. But to be able to see how they are when no, you know, when she's not watching, you know, when they don't know she's watching.
She even got to see them make out.
Right? Yeah, that you would heard the disgust in my voice. I'd have slipped. I'd have said, no, you have to stop.
She probably but, just shut down.
I just wish you would have like snuck and made a recording or something to say, you know, I love you guys. You know, I understand. You know, you didn't understand me. I didn't understand you. Something, you know, just
you mean
something.
Before she went to Geminon or before?
Well, even if she didn't do it before she left, like since she's been running around the house, like, she is good in computers, make a little message for them and act like she had did this before she died.
Oh.
You know, something like sneak a little like message in something and they can he can act provide it so that she
but the dad figured it out though. She still didn't want him to know for some reason. But yeah, I see a message, but
just to see that she like right now, I don't like her. Like just to see that she matured a little bit. Like she's mad at her friend because her friend didn't die. I mean,
I don't know. They don't focus on her a lot, and she killed her little boyfriend to escape to Geminon. So we don't yeah. know. But I don't.
And I thought for a second that she actually was starting to like him. I kind of really thought that.
I think she did like him, and she did not want to kill him. But she's a strong machine, and I don't think she realized that she hit him that hard.
Right. Mm. Well, I want to see how it goes. I
wanted him to last because I wanted them to, like, get together or something. I don't know.
Or even make a dupe. I mean, if he could, like, I would see him choose to make a avatar of himself because I don't think he likes being in the real world anyway.
That's true. And you know what? I thought he would be more understanding of her being inside of the machine. And
so did I. So did I.
I thought he would have helped her. And the fact that he didn't, I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, I thought that was where they were going. Like, I thought she had another ally in her getting to Geminon. I thought that he would really help her all the way. And I even thought that he would make a copy of himself and pretty much kill himself so that he can be.
Oh, that's with morbid. Her. What?
Well, he is really, like, but they kept showing this guy is like, you know, really more in love with
the
virtual world than he is in his own. You know, like you show that he's really not happy where he is.
I wonder if they'll do that. Maybe he'll be like a weird, they'll do some weird one-off episode where he's a ghost and he's haunting her. You killed me, Zoe. You know? Well,
like if he made, I don't know, like he could have made it.
Some sort of echo.
Sense. Yeah, it could. Like, he's that good in computers, why wouldn't, you know, he could have been playing around with something that could to be a program that'll run through.
I don't know. It sounds like you like the show. I don't
it's, to me, it it, you know like... what it is? It's got, it's, it drives me crazy because I want to like it more than I do. And maybe that's what it is. I want to.
That is like, weird. That is so, because I like this way more than I like SGU. Like, 100% more.
Well, yeah, I can tell when you talk about it. It's like, you know what? I'm going to watch it again. Like, every time I say, I give up. That girl won't tell her parents, I'm done. I'm watching it again. And I listen to an episode, I'm like, well, maybe I'll... Okay.
I don't know. Well, you got a whole summer to decide. But just for the beauty alone, I mean, if you just turned them off and just looked at the show...
The way they shoot, I even like the way it comes on. Like, in the beginning when it comes on... Mm-hmm. I even love that, like how they shoot that part when it comes on and goes to each character. I love that.
Yeah.
I like how they do that. So I don't want them to lose that. But
it'll be interesting because I really enjoyed the arty stuff that they were doing with the show. And if you say they're changing stuff up for the second season, I'm a little scared.
Yeah, I'm worried. Because when they piggyback or off of ratings, when TV shows get scared, when they get scared about ratings, they sometimes make a lot of bad decisions on a show that'll just kill it. instead of just letting it develop on its own naturally.
Well, maybe some people like you thought of, I just don't see how the ratings on SGU, and not to try to slam a show to make another show look better. I don't want to, because I did like the latest SGU. It's just that I don't understand how SGU is doing better than
I don't
Caprica,
either.
Because SGU, Caprica to me.
Caprica to you is what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was saying, the funny thing is when we talk about SGU is they take every sci-fi cliche and throw it into SGU. Like, to next episode is going to be the Maquis fighting the Starfleet. It's like I watch so much sci-fi that I can see every single, like, thing. Like, the black guy on SGU is a cross between Worf, Tuvok from Voyager. Worf from, he's just that character all in.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, Daryl, it has been fun talking about all these Smallville, Fringe, Flash Forward. I'd love to have you back. I will also put, you know, all the links or whatever you want me to in the show notes. And guys, if you like this episode, give us a call at 773-336-2686. That's 773-336-2686. Go to scifipartyline.com to leave comments. We are on Twitter at scifipartyline. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye. Yes, yes. I know we made some mistakes in this episode. Daryl meant to say Olivia instead of Catherine and Peter. We know that they are the observers and not the watchers, and Flash Forward is on Thursdays. We make mistakes. We're not perfect, but we will see you next week, so bye.